You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Yes, hello, welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Wednesday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Sam Norris, Kevin O'Malley and Andrew Mount in the studio. We've got all the racing at Linkfield and Southwell on the Tapeter and Fibersand respectively. We've also got jumping from Sedgefield on Wednesday afternoon and evening action on the Poly Track at Kempton. So plenty to get stuck into. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Andrew Mount. How are you, Andrew?
Hello, Mark. Yes, not so bad, thank you. How are you doing?
Yeah, not so bad at all. Not so bad. Bit of a good mix on Wednesday there. We've got jumping and racing on all three different respective all-weather surfaces.
Yeah, I guess which one I'm looking forward to most. your weather.
Yes. We're going to look at three races coming up on Tuesday. Before we do, a little bit of news to talk about. And with the flat season starting on Saturday, we're going to talk about a little bit of flat news. First, real report from Aidan O'Brien and the Ballydoyle Battalions, and it's surrounding the Guineas. Churchill, we understand, will go straight for the race and is the 6-4 market leader at the moment in the Antipost market as well.
Yes, indeed. And obviously a race that O'Brien's enjoyed plenty of success in recent years. And of course, Churchill unbeaten in 5 starts since going down in 3rd in a Curra Maiden on his debut. Ended last season winning the Dewhurst by a length and a quarter from Lancaster Bomber, a stablemate and 66-1 outsider. And obviously going to be hard to beat, I would think, in the big race.
Mm. Not content with just having the market leader for the 2000 Guineas, Caravaggio second in the market there at 11-2, also trained by Aidan O'Brien. Very exciting as a 2-year-old. He had a bit of an injury problem towards the end of last season, so we're going to see him in action probably at Dundalk next month, and then a decision will be made with regards to the Guineas. Looking forward to seeing Caravaggio back in action, if nothing else.
Yes, indeed, and because he began life in a Dundalk maiden last April, winning at odds of 3-1 on, and indeed he started as favourite for all 4 of his starts, progressed from maiden winner to listed winner, Group 2 winner at Ascot, and then, of course, Group 1 winner at the Curra when last seen in the Phoenix Stakes in August. So it'll be interesting to see how he copes with his first run since. And my inclination would be to perhaps take him on. He might need the prep by the sound of it, and maybe want to take on a very short price on the day in that Dundalk race.
Mm. We'll talk about that close to the time, of course. I actually commentated on Caravaggio's debut purely by accident, because I was on Racing Radio that night and we couldn't get the commentary through for whatever reason, and I had to commentate on it. So I called Caravaggio's debut.
I've only had to do that once. It was a 5-runner race at Navan, I think it was, so a mile and a half. So you'd think during that time I'd managed to mention every horse. I still managed to mess it up. So
oh dear.
I dread that happening again.
Okay, let's talk about Aintree as well, because good racing coming up at Aintree, of course. We're about just over a week away from the festival, the Grand National Festival, starting. And a lot of the Cheltenham heroes are going to turn out again at Aintree. It looks like we're going to see Q-Card take on Native River in the Bowl. We've also got Defi de Soy going for the 4-year-old juvenile hurdle, and it looks like we're probably going to see Bouvardair against Apple's Jade in the Aintree hurdle as well. It's shaping up really nicely for next week, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely fantastic. And there's been a sort of reasonable gap as well in between Cheltenham and Aintree, so there shouldn't be any excuses in regards to the two meetings being too close together. And it'll be fascinating to see how some of these get on.
Mm. Any early thoughts for Aintree for anything?
I was thinking Alan King's going to have a decent meeting. I know he didn't have any winners at the Cheltenham Festival, but I'm expecting the yard to do particularly well here. I'm very interested in Apple's Jade as well against Bouvardair in the 2.5 mile entry hurdle.
Mm. She was obviously devastating at entry this time last year, wasn't she? Won by half the track.
That's right.
One of the most impressive performances I've seen for a very long time. Grand National itself, would be remiss of us not to, to at least mention it while we're talking about Aintree. Villain Rouge, the 10-1 market leader, 14-1 for Black Lion. Cause of Causes, definitely red. One for Arthur and The Last Samurai. 16-1 Uccello Conti, 20-1 more of that. Pleasant Company and Sapphire de Rare. Adding to the mix there, The Young Master and Vicente also at 20-1 and 25-1 bar those. Another way away, but early thoughts for the National, anything you want to keep on side at this point?
Yeah, Uccello Conti I'm quite interested in, and Highland Lodge as well. He's only had a couple of runs over these fences since joining Jimmy Moffat, winning the Beecher in the 2015-2016 season, and then finishing second by a short head to Vu Leon Rouge this time around. Mm. So, you know, obviously laid out for the race, and 33-1 about Highland Lodge compared to 10-1 about Vu Leon Rouge looks decent value at this stage.
Mm. Yeah, there shouldn't be quite that disparity in prices, should there really, perhaps? We'll leave that there, chatting about Aintree and the Grand National, of course, over the next few days, and we'll obviously build up to the big race next Saturday.
And don't forget the Lincoln.
Yeah, that's this Saturday, isn't it? Yeah. Any thoughts on the Lincoln? Still 107 entries, I think, at this point, or something.
Third
like
time lucky for Richard Fahey. Right. 16-1 at the moment.
Okay.
Got you heard it here first.
Good record in the race, hasn't he, Richard Fahey?
Absolutely.
So, yeah. Good. Nice. We'll move on to that, of course, close to the weekend. Let's concentrate on matters a little closer to hand, though, because we've got racing coming up on Wednesday. Andrew has kindly prepared three races for us. We'll get his thoughts next.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, then on to Wednesday's action. We'll go through these in time order. So we start in the 3 o'clock at Southwell, and this one is a Class 4 handicap on the fibres, and a mile is the trip here. Seven of them set to go to post for this one, Andrew. And I suppose we should start with Hammer Gun, who couldn't really arrive here in better form.
Yeah, he's done amazingly well this year. 3 from 3 with the latest win coming at Chelmsford last week, where even though it was a small field, I thought he did really well to defy the draw and pace bias. He was drawn widest of all and came from off the pace, whereas most of the winners that night, like at most Chelmsford meetings, were prominent throughout. And there's a quote from Derek Shaw when he won his first race this year. It says, Hammer Gun has been very disappointing, but for good reasons. He didn't express what those were, but that... So that first Southwell win came after, when he was 100-1, no less, came after a break of a few months. So they've obviously put right whatever was ailing him. And since then, he's been absolutely flying. And so it's 3 from 3, 2 wins at Southwell over 7 furlongs, that 1 mile Chelmsford win. And, I thought he was generously priced last time. It was an 8-1 shot. He did really well to, claw back the front running London in the closing stages. And I think he's going to take all the beating. In fact, I've napped him in my Racing and Football Outlook column on Wednesday.
Right.
So I'll be very disappointed if this one's beat.
Are you going to nap him on the William Hill Naps table as well then?
Given I'm tailed off at the moment, I think I might be looking for something at a slightly bigger price, because I'm guessing that Hammer Gun will start favourite, although I've not seen any prices yet.
Yeah, I imagine it'll be fairly short this time around.
One thing we should just quickly mention about this, because a 1 mile race on the fibre sand at sunny Southwell. Store One's got a terrible record.
Right.
It's 0 from 54 since the start of last year. So
really?
That would certainly count against El Al for the Ruth Carr Yard here.
Yeah, okay. Negative for El Al then. Strong bets or strong selection there. Hammer Gun in the 3 o'clock. On to the 3:40 next bit of jumps action. This is a hurdle series final. It's a handicap hurdle over just short of 2.5 miles. A Class 2 event. Some good prize money on offer. Seven of them taking their place in the lineup here. Who do you think wins the prize?
Yeah, I'm quite interested in the top weight here. Bolinace for Tim Easterby. Fell last time out, but that was at Newcastle, and earlier won two here at Sedgefield this year. So I'm not sure what they're calling the ground there tomorrow, if you've got that to hand, because those Sedgefield winds came on soft and heavy going, so wouldn't want it to dry out too much. But Bolinace and perhaps Just for James, the other course and distance winner, the danger at this stage.
Ground described as good at the moment.
Right.
I'm just checking that. Would that be a negative then? Would that put you off?
It would be a little bit of a concern. It might bring Just for James more into the equation as well. This one was an 8-length second to Bolinace here earlier this month, and since disappointed on heavy ground at Newcastle, but back on quicker going, a course and distance winner, then perhaps just for James could be closer, but I'd still just favour Bolognese.
Bolognese and the selection for Andrew there in the 3:40 at Sedgefield. And we finish off our look ahead to Wednesday with the 7:55 at Kempton Park. This is a handicap over a mile. It's a London Mile Series qualifier. We have 11 of them to go to post for this one. And we'll start with gossiping here. He's won three of his last four outings.
Yeah, he's absolutely flying. The first of those wins came at Wolverhampton on the Tapita over the extended mile. Perhaps didn't quite get home over the 9.5 furlong trip at the same venue next time. And then has shown improved form since switch to Kempton, winning twice over this 1 mile trip, latterly by just over a length from the Warrior. I'd napped the Warrior that day, and I thought it was a really good performance by Gossiping to win quite comfortably in the end. The Warrior reopposes, wearing eye shields for the first time, and with Jim Crowley up, might get a little bit closer this time, but I'd still just favour Gossiping, who looks most progressive.
He does indeed. Could be the talking horse going into the race, couldn't he, Gossiping?
Very good. See what you've done there.
Oh, apologies for that, that was terrible. Where does Lacan fit into this, by the way? Because he arrives here in winning form. Could you see him getting involved?
Yeah, absolutely. Probably underrated in the market because he's having his first run for Brett Johnson after leaving Rafe Beckett.
Yeah.
After landing that Wolverhampton claimer last time out. Stall 11 might be a little bit tricky as well. I think I'd rather be drawn somewhere in the middle here. And I think I'll pass Lacan over this time on his first run from New Yard.
Yeah, staying with Gossiping.
The Warrior for the forecast spot yet again.
Okay, good stuff. That's our look ahead to Wednesday's action then, as usual, Andrew. Just a little bit of a quick summary before you go, if you'll just finalise your selections for us then.
Yeah, the 3 o'clock at Southall, very keen on Hammergun here to complete a 2017 four-timer for Derek Shaw. The 3:40 at Sedgefield, although the drying ground's a slight concern, I still think Bolognese can confirm recent course and distance form over Just for James. And then finally, the 7:55 at Kempton, Gossiping and the Warrior ran 1-2 here recently, and I think they'll do so again.
Good stuff. Thank you very much, Andrew. Pleasure to see you once again. Good luck and enjoy it on Wednesday.
Thank you, Mark.
There you go. The thoughts of Andrew Mount on Wednesday's racing. Then you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50 p.m. Sam Norris, Kevin O'Malley and Andrew Mount, the team in the studio. It's Lingfield, Sedgefield and Southwell in the afternoon and Kempton Park in the evening. So plenty to get stuck into. And as we say, action in both codes there and all three different all-weather surfaces. So plenty to get stuck into. Do tune in for that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Wednesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.